Well, this morning, we're going to be talking about bitterness. Bitterness is a hard thing to determine. Every one of us, sometime or another, has bitterness. We start trying to find out what that really means, but generally the idea comes from something we taste, generally. You know, there's something that's really acid or disagreeable, very distasteful taste, that's hard and galling. You know, when Christ was on the cross, they offered him vinegar and gall. Very, very distasteful. My thing about it is probably worse than trying to eat a grain of cinnamon. Bitterness. It says it's marked by intensity and severity, such as a severe pain or suffering will cause bitterness within. And being vehement or very strong, exhibiting intense animosity, harshly reproachful. This is the thing the dictionary said about it. Marked by cynicism, rancor, and intense unpleasantness and so forth. Coldness and rawness, expressive of severe pain, grief, bitterness. Bitterness in a person is actually poison to your soul. It's deep down in you, and it grows and grows. It's like a cancer to your soul. When we become bitter sometimes, we feel like, well, we feel like somebody robbed us of something we should have had, such as childhood, innocence, or a job that we should have had, or other things like that really, really are very important to us deep down inside to our vital being. And we can become very bitter. You look at Esau. He felt like he'd been robbed. His brother got his birthright. He had tears of bitterness. And we see Israel, as they come out of the promised land, they headed to go up on the waters of Marah. They all were thirsty, and the water bitter. The word Marah means bitter. And they were bitter toward God and toward Moses. We read about Hannah as she come before into the temple and prayed, and she was bitter in her soul because God had not allowed her to have her children. And she poured out to God her bitterness. And we read about Ruth and Naomi. And Naomi said, Ruth, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For that means bitter. She was bitter because she had lost her husband and both her two sons, and now she comes back home to nothing, to an empty house. Bitterness. Think about it. What I want you to think about this morning is your life. Is there bitterness in your life? In Proverbs 14:10, he says, the heart knoweth his own bitterness, and the stranger does not intermeddle with his joy. Your heart knows that you're bitter when you are. You may not admit it, you may try to push it off, but deep down. Proverbs 17:25, the foolish son is grief to his father and bitterness to her that bear him. I like this from Proverbs 22:24. Make no friendship with an angry or a bitter man. You see, angry Esau comes from bitterness. Esau was angry. Anyway, that's good enough. Cain was bitter because God had chosen Abel's worship over his, and he rose up and slew his brother. Cain was very bitter, and he showed it through his anger. An angry man is one full of bitter. And with a fierce man, thou shalt not go. You don't want to go and be friends with him, keep walking with him, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare of thy soul. But you become like that. You become bitter. You start going and you stay with a lot of people that are that way. After a while, it comes off on you. And this bitterness grows inside. The other day, when I fished and I met a man that was as bitter as anybody I had ever seen. This man just rolled out of him. He was bitter against his mother. He was bitter against his daddy. He was bitter against his wife. He was bitter against his family. He was bitter against God. And blamed it all on God. Very bitter. The heart is bitter. Without end, you can just see it rolling out. Hebrews 12:15. it says, look diligently, that way be aware, look around, keep an eye on, lest any man fall of the grace of God. That means you fall from the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you. You see, bitterness puts down roots inside it, and then it springs up and grows to the point that it comes out. And so when it comes out, you're there by your defile. It becomes sin. You commit sin because of all this bitterness that you have that's within. And what brings all bitterness to us? What is it that causes bitterness? It's pain. The pains that happen to us, the things that happen to us. In Luke 17:1, our Lord said, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but the offenses will come, but woe to him through whom they come. It's really a reality of life. There is no way you and I can escape. Hurts, pains, problems, disappointments, they happen to all of us. And what we need to learn is not to let it be cause us to be bitter, because it's always going to be happening. People are always going to disappoint you. People are always going to, somebody's going to offend you by and by. And we don't need to be a victim to it. We need to get rid of the bitterness. And you can learn to rise above those disappointments. I want you to take a private test. Just think within yourself now. Don't write it down or show it to anybody. This is just you personally. Because this lesson this morning is very personal to all of us. Each one of us. I want you to think or name three persons who hurt you. Name three persons whose company you enjoy the least. You really don't like to be around them. Think about three persons you would most enjoy watching them fall or fail in life. Think of three persons or someone you just can't stand, someone you wish ill will against.
Any wrong answers there? Anything there answering you know is wrong, it's going to imply that there's bitterness in your soul. You have bitterness there. In Ephesians 4, he tells us how we can overcome this bitterness. In Ephesians 4, he goes through several things that are showing us how we can equate with this bitterness, how in our lives we can overcome these things. And he, we're going to start off here. He talked about bitterness in right to the center of it, and he showed the progression of it. But the whole thing is talking about what erupts in your life from bitterness and how to overcome that and how to get rid of it. In Ephesians 4, verse 22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in your spirit of your mind. And that you put off the new man, which after God is created righteousness and true holiness, and that you put on the new man, which after God, well, verse 44, we're on twice. Well, that's important. But we're going to talk about in here how you accomplish that. We all know we're supposed to put off the old man. How do you get rid of him? He's hard to turn loose of. And we all know we're supposed to become a new man. But in Ephesians 4, we're going to go down through here and he's going to talk about some of those things. But, you know, we got to change our attitude. That's what he's talking about. Says, put on a new man. Renewing your mind. Changing your mind. Change the way you think. And, you know, a lot of times we probably don't know that we are bitter, that we have all this bitterness. We know it, but we try to deny it. I have another little private test I want you to go through. A little exercise, if you will. I want you to think about the answer to these questions. Does it irritate you when people don't agree with you? Been that way before? Mm-hmm. Does it irritate you when people don't agree with you? Do you think that you're usually right and the others are usually wrong? Do you find yourself giving more criticism than compliments? Are you short with people? Do you ask loaded questions just so you can irritate the other person? Loaded questions. Is it difficult to talk to someone who's hurt you in the past without bringing up again, you know, the subject of
trouble? Does it cause you pain to talk about people? Does it hurt you to talk to some people and you just keep reminding yourself until you tell them how bad they've hurt you? Does your conversations tend to turn into arguments? Any of these things show that there's bitterness if you tend to turn into arguments with your conversations? Do you feel disappointed, mistreated, or betrayed? You know, those things make bitterness in your soul. As I tell you about this man, do you feel like God has let you down? A yes answer to these questions can mean that there's bitterness in your soul. There's bitterness inside of you. And bitterness is like, it'll just roll in there and grow until one day, out it comes. You can't contain it. You can't stop it. Bitterness will come out when you don't want it to. When you try to hold it in, but eventually it's coming out. It's like something corrupt growing inside of you. Ephesians 4:25. He says, wherefore put away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one with another. That is a powerful statement. That is a hard statement. People with bitterness inside, they tend to lie. They try to cover it up. The fact that they cover up the bitterness that they have shows forth a lie. He tells us, you know, to stop lying and start telling the truth. When someone's upset sometimes, we'll ask them, what's the matter? Nothing. You know, what does that say to you? I don't want to talk about it. You know, that says there's something bad going on, but I don't want to discuss it. Discussing communication is one of the ways that help us to overcome this bitterness we have. And, you know, that's not a good answer because that shuts down communication. Honest communication depends upon honest conversation. Telling the truth builds bridges, but telling lies, it builds barriers between people. It builds walls. So we need to start telling the truth and stop telling lies. And we're warned in verse 26 not to be angry. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Anger. Do not go to bed angry, because it grows and it grows. And you may not necessarily remember all of it tomorrow, but you've got that bitterness growing inside you. And it becomes rooted and grounded, and it causes more and more trouble. No longer it stays there. And you know, when people see that coming out, they know that there's something inside. And this anger that we have and this bitterness that grows, it develops into aggressive behavior or depressive behavior. Either way, it's destroying you and those around you. You know, if it builds up that you start hating yourself and you hold it in so much that you hate yourself, and then you finally, when it comes out, it's terrible. Or you hate the ones around you. This bitterness, it is very destructive. Either way it goes, it causes us to strike out and put down on others. It is a destructive force that hurts all of us with whom we're angry and the friends that we're with. Next one, he said, let him sow still no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands for the things which is good, that he may have to give to them that are needy. And he didn't know that had to do with bitterness, did he? People that are bitter because of the way the world has treated them, they feel like somebody should be giving them something, the world owes them something, they've been cheated out of part of their life. They will steal. You see, they will steal because they feel like it owes. They owe them. The world owes them. They've been mistreated and done wrong, and they're full of bitterness about it. And they will steal. That's one reason they do steal. They don't feel like they've been treated fairly. They haven't been done right. Stealers, takers, are selfish in nature. And we're all takers or givers one way or the other. And you think about life with our marriages, some of us are more takers than they are givers. And those takers, they're the ones that are like stealers. They take take what they think should be theirs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. No, we got to put a stop. Put a stop to running down other people. We got to put a stop to just letting it flow out. You know, some people exceed in cutting others down. They exceed in doing those things. This passage warns that such negative communication, it grieves the Spirit of God. See verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So you want to control that tongue. And when you get your heart right and you get the bitterness out, you can get control of it. You can only teach those things that are good. You talk in such a way that your speech is good. Verse 31, he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with malice. I want you to notice, he starts out with bitterness. And all these things that are listed come from bitterness that's within. As it grows, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. He starts out, you see, he says, let all bitterness, then he talks about wrath. Bitterness, you get angry, you're bitter inside. And anger, wrath and anger, basically the same thing. And clamor, then you begin to bring up words and say things and do things and evil speaking, kind of like the clamor and evil speaking. And he said, put away from you with all malice. Malice is when you hurt somebody. It goes into physical action. It's no longer just within. You're reaching out to hurt them in some way, specifically. You see, it's no longer just inside you. It's striking out of others. Verse 32. And be you kind one to another, tender hearted. Be you kind one to another, tender hearted, one to another. And even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You be kind, tender hearted, forgiving one another. This is the key. This is the key to it all. How do you get rid of the bitterness that you have? You've got to forgive those that you've been angered by, those that have created bitterness, those things that happened to you in the past. I know some of what I'm talking about. Probably not as much as some of you, but I do. I grew up in a house where mom and dad had their baby, and I was the other guy that was in there. That's the way I felt about it. And it caused bitterness. I didn't realize how much bitterness I had until I had to confess it, get rid of it, to admit it, and work on it. You know, we all get into situations like that. And it bitterness sets up and it puts down roots and it grows and it develops. And it'll come out when you don't want it to. But it's coming out because it's very corrupt. You see the chain reaction in bitterness. We need to stop that blowing up. Stop that fighting and arguing. Put away the malice. And stop retaliating. Start forgiving. In Matthew 18 and 15, our Lord tells us how to deal with some of these things. When someone does something to you and you can't forgive them, you can't get over it. You know, he said, as God has forgiven us, we should forgive them. Sometimes we can't forgive it right away. Sometimes we can't let go of it. Sometimes that thing just sits there on us and it's working on us. But he tells us how to do it. You know, if you can't forgive the person, you can't forgive them and you're offended by them and whatever they said or not, you still got that offense with you. Matthew 18, he says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou gain thy brother. What does that mean? If he shall hear thee, that means he heard you, he says, I'm sorry, and you have to forgive it. Then you forgive it. You've gained your brother. It's redemption, not pushing away. You know, what do people normally do? We carry it around inside of us, and we tell other people, or we pout about it, or whatever, the case might be, and sometimes, you know, we won't speak to brother or sister because, man, we got this going on inside. What are you supposed to do? Go to them. Tell them your problem. They say, I'm sorry. You can forgive them because that's how God forgave you. You came to Jesus saying, I'm sorry that I have crucified you. And you obey that gospel that Jesus offered you and you cleansed. You come say, I'm sorry. You can receive healing and be forgiven. And then he says, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more. Then in the mouth of two or three witnesses, they were worried they'd be established. Take some more folks with you. And if he will neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let it be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Let it be like all the world. Now, this bitterness in people, it's been known to destroy marriages, it's destroyed churches, because it causes conflict and animosity and malice. Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Peter was disturbed by what Jesus told him about going to him. You know, if he will hear you, then you gain your brother. If he goes to him and he says that I'm sorry, and then you have forgiveness and redemption, Peter said he had a problem with that. And the other disciples also, when they heard all this, they said, Lord, in Luke 17, Lord, help me to pray in my faith. But notice what Jesus said unto him, I say not unto seven times, but in 70 times seven. In other words, a world without end, as many times as it happens, you go to him and say, you've done such and such. He says, I'm sorry, and you forgive. And y'all reunite. You're together again. And that's what the Lord teaches about the matter. And he put forth a parable. Matthew 18:32, then servant that had, he come and he had a debt that he couldn't pay, and he asked his master if he forgave him, and his master forgave him. He went out and grabbed his other servant that was working for him, under him, and he said, pay me that you owe me. And they wouldn't pay it, so he threw them in prison. And this is what Jesus had to say about that wicked servant. Matthew 18:32, then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother that trespasses. You want to have heaven at your home, you've got to forgive your brother and your sister, those that have trespassed against you, who hurt you. They call bitterness, some bitterness to be in you. And that way, you get rid of the bitterness because you've forgiven them. I want to look at how we can clear our soul of the sin that bitterness causes. We look at Acts chapter 8, written by a man named Simon. Simon was a sorcerer. Simon was a sorcerer, and he was converted by Philip, and he was baptized by Philip, so he laid down his sorcery. By his sorcery, he had people looking up to him as some great man. He fooled the people, and they thought it was something great that he was performing things like miracles. And here come along Philip, who actually performed them, and then here come along the apostles, who gave power to perform these things. Oh, he wanted that. He desired that. He became angry because what he had been taken away, and now these folks have got even something greater, and they wouldn't let him have it. Notice what it says, Acts 8:18. And when Simon saw that through the laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered him money, saying, give me also this power that whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. He wanted that power. But Peter said to him, now money perish with thee, because I thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You can't buy God's attention, love, and so forth. You can't buy anything from God either. You need our money. So, and Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. But thou didst depart and allot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God that perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in a gall of bitterness and a bond of iniquity. You know, we're talking about some things this morning. And we can probably look in our hearts and know that the bitterness is there. And if bitterness is there, it's going to grow, and it's going to root, and it's going to be a bond of iniquity. It's going to tie you to sin. That's what it does. It ties you to sin. Because the bitterness is going to come out in the form of sin. Verse 24. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which you've spoken of come upon me. That's what we have to do. We confess our sin and pray. We get someone like Peter to pray with us and for us. This is what it's like to have this bitterness. Romans 3:13. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of bats are in their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. It's not always filled with blood, but swift to shed hurt and pain. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes, because if they fear God, they want to get rid of that. So we want to remind you again, how do we get rid of the bitterness? The keys that we had in Ephesians 4:22-32. Put off the old man and put on a new man. Stop lying. Start telling the truth. Stop hating and start loving our fellow people. Stop stealing and start giving. Stop cutting people down and start building up. Stop overreacting and start being calm and controlled of yourself. Stop retaliating and start forgiving. Those are keys that can help us to overcome. And finally, after Simon, repent and pray. Repent and pray of the thoughts that are in our hearts and ask for forgiveness to God. So those things that we've done because of that bitterness that we used to have or have, come out. James 5:16. He says, confess your faults one to another and pray with them that you might be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And in John 1:9, he said, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse from all unrighteousness. If you're here this morning, perhaps you need some prayers of the brethren. If that's the case, then we want you to live in on as we stand and sing. We'll pray with you and for you.